everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini. He's the co-host today for Mythbusters, Must Be Friday. What do we have for today, Chris? Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. Well, politicians keep fabricating fake rights out of thin air, so we're trying to keep up. Today, we'll address this supposed right to never be offended. So let's start with what being offended actually means. So for example, it may just be an interpretation. If two people see a car crash, it could be interpreted and described in totally different ways. Or if two people listen to a speech, one could be inspired and the other can be totally offended by the speech. So isn't it just a matter of interpretation, Dr. Paul?
Yes, and I think you introduced the real crux of the matter here, and that is what you're talking about is a subjective interpretation, which is whatever somebody wants to think. It's, there's no objectivity to it, but then it's translated into force and law and blaming people. But no, it's purely subjective, and yet they don't write it into law, but the law of the land means that if you aren't politically correct, there's a way to gang up on you. If you look at what's happening in the universities and in job protection, and it's even crept into the military, which is rather strange when you think about people not being offended in the military. I witnessed a lot of that when I was in the military, and if they're going to erase it all from the military, that'll be something else. But this is the whole problem, is that there's no sense of rule of law here, and yet it translates into a lot of punishment. People lose jobs, and they suffer from it. They set up for lawsuits, and then it really does set the stage for changing of laws. It may start off with, you know, the political correctness, and people complain, oh, you know what they said, you know, and this sort of thing. And, you know, When you think about it, you know, so many kids, and I remember it used to be said all the time, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But it looks like now you don't even have to say a name. All you have to do is frown at somebody or say something else, but not the big thing here. This is subjective. It's not objective. And we're not talking about somebody committing offense of violence, people doing something, you know, taking property or pushing people around or threatening to kill somebody, this sort of thing. This is just pure subjectivity, which is a goal, I think, for those who would love to run the world and run the culture. And I think it's a tool that's promoted by the cultural Marxists. They didn't do so well in controlling the economy. They still want to, but it's not so popular. All they have to do is look at Venezuela and a few other places. But it's something that they want to use, and they will use. So I think it's good to try to understand exactly what's going on here. When people are offended, there is no such thing as a natural right to never be offended. I mean, that is so silly, but that's what we're living with today. And since it's subjective, almost anybody can say anything. And then those who want to cause chaos for the elites to march in and take over, they let anything go. The victims are those who deal in a world of objectivity and property rights.
Yes, and you mentioned American universities, and they are unfortunately a hotbed for this false idea that you can't be offended. Naturally, they gravitate to using force to those who may say or do something offensive. But if that ever went on a society-wide scale to everyday life, what kind of nightmare scenario would that create, Dr. Paul?
Well, I think we're approaching this, and the university is a good example of that. Because recently, Ann Coulter, you know, was invited to speak and had a speaking engagement at Berkeley, and all of a sudden it got canceled because somebody was going to be offended. And Of course, it looks like it could be reversed, but it's that kind of stuff that they do opposite of what a free society is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be protecting people, protecting people's expression and speaking out, and yet they're outraged. But it isn't because a couple kids got annoyed, you know, 10 or 15 standing out, oh, I don't like this person, I'm going to boycott, or I'm going to demonstrate against them. You know, a little bit of that would be acceptable, but this is ingrained. This is ingrained into the system, and the professors love it, and they teach it, and they encourage it. And then the board of trustees, I often wondered, where are the board of trustees on this? What do they care? Don't they care about their university? What about the alumni? I think they do care. They care about the football team, you know, and just so nobody says anything nasty about the football team, then it was bad news. But it's a culture that has developed in the university, so you really have a difficult time, you know, escaping it. There are definitely universities better than others, and in the earlier education, you know, grade school and high school, you can actually escape it and protect your kids a little bit by homeschooling and private schooling. But in the university, if you want to get to medical school or a few other places in engineering, you have to go to these places. And unfortunately, it's intimidation. It's the opposite of what liberty is all about. And it's done for nefarious reasons. And so often it's done to undermine the cause of liberty and the concept of having individuals make their own decisions for themselves and believing in personal responsibility. All of a sudden, it's this cultural thing you put pressure on, and all you have to do is get 10 people up and say, I am offended. I can't do this. Then they take over just about everything in society. They can change the definition of marriage. They can tell people, even in private sources. See, private property would answer most of these questions, but no, they invade the private property as well and tell people exactly what the standards are going to be because somebody was offended by what has been said. And unfortunately, a lot of pressure can be put on it, and we do hear stories all the time of people who said something 15 or 20 years ago, and then it comes out, and they're going to lose their jobs. And the other thing that is very annoying is they come up with, well, you need to apologize. Did you say this? And get on your hands and knees and beg forgiveness. Now, that's not quite the thing I learned in my bringing up in the Christian church, that you deal with it this way. But it's apology, apology, apology. That gives the stamp of approval that they're dictating what is right and what is wrong. And that is the culture now of always apologizing if you're politically incorrect or will gang up on you. And that of course, is a problem. Hopefully the people will wake up and look for better answers.
Yes, and there is a better answer, and it should be our anchor, what's known as the law of the land, the U.S. Constitution. And the drafters of the Constitution made the First Amendment first for a reason. Freedom of speech it's monumental. So please, Dr. Paul, describe what freedom of speech actually means. And of course, its close association with private property and property rights.
There's the real issue, because what the individuals are doing about making use of people being offended is a direct, vicious attack on the freedom of expression. The First Amendment, the founders clearly believed in it, and like I jokingly say, even seriously, they didn't give us the First Amendment so you and I can talk about the weather. They gave it to us because they wanted us to criticize the government and not be put in prison for it. And today, you know, truth is treason. Just look at what they do to the whistleblowers, the threat against Assange, and he even's come from Australia, yet we're going to use it against him as well as Edward Snowden, that they cannot say anything. So So the real problem is telling the truth. Now, that doesn't bother anybody. That doesn't offend anybody. Matter of fact, everything else offends them. But if you're telling the truth, that is the ultimate offense. That should be the one that we should be most concerned about, because it does silence a lot of people, all done in the name of freedom of speech. And like you suggest, there is a relationship of freedom of speech with property rights, because I think if you couldn't add up all the Ten Amendments and you had to just do one thing, you could talk about property rights, because that does, you know, indirectly protect everything else. Because if you have if you have a job and you work and earn something, you have property, you have the right to use it. If you buy a house, which would be proper in a free society, you can do what you want. And a lot of people still recognize in your house, you can tell who can come in your house and who can use your bathroom, and you can define marriage, whatever you want. And this also would mean that if you have a church or some type of a religious organization, the government should never intrude. They never should spy on you. And even today, we've recognized that they spy on ministers on what they might say. And if they challenge the government, they can get into a lot of trouble. So property is very, very important. But, you know, the big problem has come about 100 years ago. They separated social political rights from property rights. And social rights mean one thing, but property something else. And therefore, property is ill-defined. There's still some recognition of our houses, but if you have a private enterprise, all of a sudden they say, well, that's different. That's public. You know, you're selling goods to the service, so the government has total control of this. And if you don't do it, you know, you can be in big trouble. So everybody abides by that. But they think that if you didn't have laws and you didn't threaten everybody to behave the way you think, you know, they would run roughshod and they would have these horrible laws and to discriminate against people. But, you know, that just isn't true. Most of the breakdown of the barriers came in spite of government. We had to break down government barriers for segregation and other things. And it is the breakdown comes in a natural race, and it could be by and should be by property rights, and not by telling people, you know, what they have to do or can do or who they can hire and who they can fire, because boycotts are just wonderful. And I think of this might not be a perfect analogy, but I'm just thinking of this mess going on with Bill O'Reilly, not my favorite person in the world, but he actually was brought down by advertisers not wanting to send money to Fox. So those kind of things can have an effect, but political correctness out of control is a different matter. And most of the problems can be solved by property rights. So when you have an establishment, if you have a newspaper, radio station, or an internet program, you should have the right to not be monitored. But we are today being monitored with our program and in collusion with big corporations who happen to be very much in charge with the dissemination of information on the internet. So yeah, our property rights are being violated. So this is something that is very important. Now, it is true that if somebody helps own something that you're using, you have to listen to the contract. But when there's a collusion between a private industry with government, and then they're exempt from prosecution because they deliver information which is private over to the government, that is a different story. And that is why freedom of expression is so important. It's a little more complicated today than it was at the founding of this country. But if you stick to the principle of the right to criticize government and speak out and never be reserved on that, if you aren't, unless there's, you know, it's not unlimited, because you can't tell lies and defraud people and this sort of thing. You can't slander people, but that's not a limit on free speech telling the truth. That's a limit on abuse and causing, you know, a form of violence. So it's a real shame that we live in this age where property rights are diminished, but it shouldn't surprise us if property rights are diminished and then these other rights, you know, fill the void. And that's why this whole issue of political correctness and, you know, driven by, oh, I am offended and I have a right not to be offended. Well, yes, the trouble and the thing that a lot of people can't understand is people have a right to offend other people. And and that sounds terrible. But I'll tell you what, the market would handle that. And if a few of us think back to how it was handled in school in the old days, we didn't have policemen or teachers out on our playground. You know, when somebody else got out of line, it was usually handled pretty well. So yes, nobody has a right never to be offended, but nobody has the right to use violence against another group, which those who declare, I've been offended, they're the offenders of liberty. That's what has to be challenged.
Finally, Dr. Paul, as we often mention on this program, it's so important for us Americans to choose which road we're going to take and what the role of government really ought to be. There really is no middle ground, and if there is a middle ground, it doesn't last very long. So, Dr. Paul, please tell us why a government that is strictly tasked with protecting our liberties is far superior than a government of thought police.
Yeah, and that's our problem. And the movement that's been on for a long time, and you hear it constantly today about how people have to come together, the two political parties, the moderates have to rule, and Republicans have to give up this, and the progressives have to give up this, and we're going to work in the center, and that's the way we have progress. No, that isn't the way. Do you give up a certain amount of your liberties to speak out and move to the middle and just have some reservation rather than absolute control over speech? No, that is the worst concept. I mean, if freedom of speech and property rights are something that's very important, you should defend it. But this whole idea that you have to concede it is wrong. That's why we drift so far from what was intended by the Constitution, and that is the Constitution wanted to limit government. It's a document that limits government power, and it protects property rights and freedom of speech. And it's a thou shalt not do things. And yet it's turned into a system where government's always intruding and have forgotten what the basic responsibility of government is supposed to be, and that is to protect liberty. And the rules of the marketplace and freedom are not anarchy. We're having anarchy now because of the chaos in the economy and the chaos with this silly stuff about don't be offended. But the market and libertarianism, the rules are rather strict. You don't hurt anybody. You don't steal from anybody. You can't cheat other people. You can't counterfeit money. And those rules are strict. Today, it's the government that's doing all this. We have forgotten what the role of government ought to be. And that, of course, is to protect liberty. And since we have drifted so far from it, this is why we see the chaos in the economy. We see medical care spending more money than ever and no medical care available to a lot of people and no answers to that. We see a tax code that's unmanageable and unpredictable because nobody knows how to lower taxes and have an offset, and nobody's willing to cut spending. So it's totally chaotic, and it's because we have forgotten what the role of government ought to be. And I think this whole idea of this movement, I am not allowed to be offended or I am going to raise Cain. This is something that is a consequence. It should be predictable. So my suggestion to anybody who cares is why don't we restore and improve on and clarify what the role of government ought to be in a free society? And it's not very complicated. It's to protect liberty and reject the notion that violence can be used to have your way in a social or economic sense. It's no more complicated than that. We've had bits and pieces of that throughout the centuries, and today we need it more than ever, and that's why I think the debate that's going on today in our country and the world is the total failure of economic interventionism and inflationism and military interventionism. It's all failing. So, and I think there's a great greater knowledge now than ever before about what the basic principles of liberty really are. So therefore, I think that as this whole era comes to an end and it collapses on us, that all we need are a few more people to understand what the issues are. And what I've always said, you don't have to wait until 51% agree with this. You need about 8 or 10% of the people saying the right thing, and they'll be in desperate need, and they'll move in the direction of liberty and give up this notion that government can rule us, whether it's through the ruling of the economy or through this whole idea that we have to protect people from ever being offended. So I look forward to the day because I think it would be delightful to live in a society where there's peace and prosperity. I'm not holding my breath about it all, but I do know that the concepts are there, and there's a lot of people who believe in it, and there will be an opportunity for us to fight for that cause. Chris, I want to thank you very much for being with us today on Mythbusters.
And thank you too, Dr. Paul.
Very good, and I want to thank our viewers today for tuning in, and please come back soon.